Okay, good evening,
Thank you, everyone.
This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. It's March 10th, 2015. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary, Michael Novick, will now please call the roll.
Teresa Allen, KPFT.
Present. Can you hear me?
Yes. Lydia Brezon, KPFK. Jim Brown, WPFW. He's on earlier. Maybe he's muted. Jim
Present.
Brown?
Present.
Yeah. Okay. Maria Elena Castellanos?
Here.
Janet Coleman, WBAI.
Here.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman, KPFA. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Jim Kaufman, KPFK. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Bob Lederer, the chair from WBAI, is here. Frank Lefever, WBAI. Michael Novick, the secretary from KPFK, is here. Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Peter Tucker, WPFW. I heard him earlier, I thought. Peter Tucker.
John wants to unmute.
John Wenger, KPFK. James Arrow resigned. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Without Peter Zucker. Still out of quorum. Sorry.
Let me ask a question. Could it be that Kim Kaufman's also on the audit committee?
Yes, she is.
She is, yes.
So she hasn't been probably told that that her conflict of the time is causing a problem. If you want her to do the same thing that Maria Elena did, that will help make a quorum. Who are we missing? Tell us again.
Well, I believe that Pete Tucker had said he could be on this call, so why don't we just...
I thought he said he was on this call.
Yeah, I heard him.
Right, right.
He didn't answer earlier.
Right, so why don't we just talk about the question of the next date, which doesn't we don't have to have a quorum to just start chatting about our available dates, and then hopefully he'll come on soon and we can immediately switch to doing actual business. So we started to talk a little bit off the stream about what dates in April are available. A bunch of them have been booked up already, but some possibilities would be that are open still would be Monday the 13th or Tuesday the 21st. So let's start with Monday the 13th. How many people here know that they have a conflict on that day?
This is Margie.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not on this.
You're not
committee.
On the committee.
Never mind.
Right.
You don't need to know anything about me. Goodbye.
Okay.
I'm just lurking around. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I have a very important call. I mean, I do have a very important meeting on that date locally. It's a management selection review committee.
Okay, so that's bad for you. Janet, okay?
Not sure about coordinating committee, possibly meeting then, but...
Okay. All right, well, what about Tuesday the 21st? Does anyone have a conflict with that?
Not bad.
All right. So that
which
be,
month? Which month
April,
is that?
April 21st.
I'm sorry. You said the 21st or the 14th?
21st.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Is that the third Monday in April?
That's the third Tuesday.
Oh, the third Tuesday in April.
Okay, well, so that sounds good for the people on the call currently, and we can, you know, re-raise it when we get to the item formally. Let's see if we can come up with one other option.
Sorry, Bob.
Yes.
This was Jim. I was muted, and I was saying, yes, I have a problem with the 21st.
Oh, you do.
I maybe you just switch it.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's talk about the next day. Wednesday the 22nd is open. Is there anyone here that knows they have a conflict?
No.
I cannot go.
Janet,
no.
You have a conflict?
Yeah.
That's a local station board.
What's that? Who is that? Michael?
That's Michael. I think that's a local station board.
No,
it's listed
here as the 15th. Unless it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, our station
right. Yeah,
board.
Okay, that's right. That's the first, first day from the 15th. Thank you.
All right. Who just joined?
Peter Parker.
Oh, great. You've just made a quorum.
That's quorum.
Okay. All right, so this meeting is now convened, and let me read the draft agenda, and then we can discuss it. And of course, we have some new PNB members tonight, and some LSB members have been elected, and others will hopefully be elected very soon. So we're not fully in our new configuration, but hopefully by our next meeting we will, and then we can set a permanent night of the week to choose for the rest of the year, and of course have our elections for officers. But for tonight, I'm proposing just three items. One, discussion and vote on the motions concerning the 2015-2016 elections. These are, of course, for those who are new, the motions that we've been discussing for at least three joint meetings with the Governance Committee, and which we've adopted a tentative one motion. Anyway, I'll get into that later, but I'm proposing, because of all the prior discussion, to just do that in 30 minutes and make a decision and then go on to our other pressing business, which would be number two, a report from the National Election Supervisor. She will come on the call and present her draft budget, including some of her cost-cutting measures that she's putting forward, and then discussion with the committee. I'm proposing 60 minutes for that. And then finally setting the next meeting date for this committee, hopefully in less than 10 minutes, but that would be at a time certain of 10:20, so that we can adjourn time certain at 10:30. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Okay.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Has this budget that the elections coordinator has worked on, has it been sent to us? Because otherwise I'll look for it.
No. Well, actually, I just see something in my inbox, so I will try to forward it to people in a couple minutes.
Thank you.
Just literally, like, just a couple minutes ago came from her. Okay. So, if there's no objection, then the agenda is adopted. I need a timekeeper. Can someone please volunteer?
I volunteer.
Who was that?
Nancy.
Oh, thank you, Nancy.
Okay, KPFT. Great.
Yeah, terrific. Okay, yeah, and actually we should just tell everyone that there we invited Governance Committee members to participate in the discussion, as in the three previous joint discussions, on a we're on a speak but don't vote basis. So it's still our committee members who cast the votes, but their members are welcome to participate in the discussion. Okay, thanks, Nancy.
Are there any others on?
Oh, right. Yes. Anyone else from Governance on this call who's not on elections? Okay.
Wow.
All right. So, we had this discussion last week with the entire Governance Committee, so that makes sense that not too many folks want to do the whole thing all over again. All right. 30 minutes, Nancy, for this item.
Okay.
There are two motions that we've been debating for a couple of months now. So, my suggestion is that they're both rather long, and rather than read them in verbatim, that we have the two sponsors summarize them, and then we can get into the discussion. So let me have I'll call on Janet Cobran to go first.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm asking you to summarize your motion. Summarize and motivate.
And I'm sorry, would you repeat what the agenda item is, or is that
discussion and vote on your motion and Serene's motion? 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, I would like to go second, please, because
okay.
I was not prepared for this. And
okay, Serene, are you prepared to go?
if you guys are prepared to hear traffic noise. Otherwise, I think somebody else should go first. Janice should go first if she's indoors all right.
Well, go ahead, because she said she's not ready.
Okay, so we find ourselves in a situation where elections that were supposed to have happened in 2013 did not occur, meaning that the persons who would have been up for election or re-election in 2013, I'm sorry, the persons who were already on the board and who would have been up for re-election in 2013 are still on the board into what is their fifth year, which is not the plan and not ideal. But the bylaws that we created did not anticipate a situation where elections would not be held. So there's no provision to handle that. We have, therefore, roughly half the board, half the membership of each board. I mean, there are exceptions where people have resigned or for other reasons separated from the board. But half of the board are serving terms that end in 2015. Half are serving terms that would ordinarily have ended in 2013. The intention is to get us back onto the schedule of three-year terms as soon as is reasonably possible without opening ourselves up to having to elect full local boards, the full membership of 24 in one fell swoop. The importance, I think, of staggered elections is that it prevents... let me roll back a little. In 2003, when we did the first election, the end of 2003 was beginning February 2004, we knew that we had to have full local boards because they were the first local station boards as opposed to the previous local advisory boards. Half in that transition, the so-called transition election, half of the board was elected for 3 year terms, the other half, well, roughly 3 years, the other half got 11 month terms. And then at the end of 2004, we had a second set of elections for 3 year terms. And since then, we've been able to avoid holding a 24 person election. The exception to what we're suggesting now would be KPFK because they failed to achieve quorum in 2012. So that all 24 of their seats will have to will be open and open up. While it is true that extending the terms of members was really not thought about in the bylaws except for quorum failure, the fact that the PND in 2013 decided not to hold elections has placed us in this position, and I think we need to restore the, quote, normal order, or the intended order, as possible, but not at the risk of giving control of the foundation over in a single election to an organized group that may not have the traditional Pacifica intent as its mission or its focus. Okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, Janet, go ahead. Your summary. And
okay. So, as we know, the 2013 PND voted to change the sequence of the bylaws, mandated elections for 12 seats to take place in year two of the 2012 to 2014 three-year election cycle. That is, in 2013. To year three, to 2014. That delayed the election. That delayed election did not take place in 2014. Now we are in a new three-year election cycle, 2015 to 2017, where year one is 2015, this year, and year two is next year, 2016. Each election is supposed to be for 12 seats. No elections are to be held in 2017. Serene's motion is to hold the bylaws mandated 2013 election, the one that has yet to happen, for the 12 seats this year, delaying the bylaws mandated 2015 election that is supposed to happen in year one of the 2015 to 2017 election cycle, delaying it to 2016, so yet another delayed election, and then back on track in 2018. Her proposal effectively cancels the bylaws mandated election that is supposed to take place in year two of the 2015 to 2017 election cycle and extends the terms of the 2012 LSB members, effectively disenfranchising what might have been 12 new LSB members. And the bylaws say that extending the terms of LSB members must require a vote of the membership, the Pacifica membership. All this compounds the problems that started when the 2013 election was delayed. We're under the microscope of the AG, and we have to show we are trying to correct mistakes that were made in the past. My proposal would use the model of the 2003 transition election, which is laid out in the bylaws, where this year the 12 seats for year one 2015 election and the 12 seats from the non-existent 2013 election would be combined into one election. The first half with three-year terms and the other half with one-year terms. The 2016 year two election would bring us back on track and fill those seats elected by the one-year terms with seats for a three-year term. It would also apply to all stations, not just KPFK, which has had a special situation in the 2012 election. So there's some concern about having staggered elections, and I agree that, yes, the way the bylaws were written, the intent was to have staggered elections, but the 2003 transition election was not won, and this year what has happened with the election that didn't take place and the one that's required this year complicates things so that another 2003-type transition election would be in order. And then go back to staggered elections after that. And some members have been waiting to run since 2013 and 2014, and no less to run this year. So there should be plenty of people to run for 24 seats in each LSB.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let me just explain the parliamentary situation. Under Robert's rules, you have to have one motion on the floor, and then you can have others as substitutes or amendments. So I'd like to rule the same way that George Ryder, the chair of the Governance Committee, ruled last week, was that Serene's motion was the main motion and Janet's was the substitute. So we can discuss them both simultaneously, but when it comes time to vote, we'll first vote on whether to substitute Janet's motion. And if that passes, that becomes the main motion and then can be subject to further amendments. If it fails, then Serene's becomes the main motion and subject to amendment, and we go from there. Okay, so with that backdrop.
Point of information.
Yes. Jim? Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Could I ask Janet to just go through the years just once more and say what's going to happen in 2014 and 2015? We're going to have...
Okay. May I?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. And so it's year 2015, one election for 24, all 24 seats for all boards.
Okay.
Half of them would end up with three-year terms and the other half one-year terms.
Okay.
Then in 2016, going back to the regular staggered election, the 12 seats that had one-year terms would be up for election in a regular election.
Okay. So the floor is open to anyone who has either questions or comments on either proposal. And did someone just join us? Okay. So who would like to speak?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Have we had any attorney that handles bylaws or has any thoughts on our bylaws review this and say what they think?
Does anyone want to answer that?
This is Janet. I got dropped off by mistake. Could the question be re-asked?
My question is, have we had any attorney who has looked at our bylaws or has opinions on our bylaws, and what would get us into trouble or not get us into trouble? Has any attorney weighed in on these two different plans?
Not as far as I know.
All right, this is Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so there's been no board requested review. I think we're trying to keep trying to keep ourselves out of debt or reduce the debt as much as possible in terms of legal fees. But the time for a legal review, it seems to me, is past. That should have been reviewed in 2013 when they were voting to cancel those elections. I think at this point, what we're doing, what we're trying to do, is to see the most affordable way. And when I say affordable, I don't necessarily mean the cheapest way. I mean the lowest price. I mean something that we can't afford, literally, to do. We cannot afford to have extra elections, which I think is going to be called for under some other scenario. We're trying to fix a problem and to keep and to decide, really. We have like two bad choices, and we have to figure out which is most fundamentally required in order to keep control of the foundation. When I say control, I don't necessarily mean control by the people who are in office now, but to make sure that we are not turning over the entire operation. I think that's so crucial. I really, it's like your prime directive, right?
Janet Kay.
Not that they aren't, I mean, obviously extending anyone's term is not anyone's first choice, including those people who, there are people on the board who wish they really could easily get off the board. They feel they need to stay and complete the process, and I respect that, but I really think we have to look at, you know, two less than wonderful choices and decide where the greatest risk is.
Okay. I'll call you in 1 second. Janet, anyone else want to speak? Okay, go ahead, Janet.
Okay, so as I called out before, as far as I know, no legal reviews of either of the motions have taken place, but it's not just about cost containment, which both motions would basically cost the same, but it's also about bylaw violations, and both motions contain basically bylaw violations, but Serene's motion contains many more than my motion, and so that's another issue. And so when there's such violations, it's more likely that there could be lawsuits.
Okay, who else would like
to speak?
Sorry,
there could be what? What did you say?
Lawsuits.
Lawsuits. Yeah. Let me speak for a second.
Well, hold on.
If no one else wants to.
Yeah, let's see if other people want to jump in.
Nancy?
Go ahead, Nancy.
To help answer Teresa's question, John Winger is supposed to be he said he's an attorney. On the last meeting, he voted for this Serene's plan, but he wanted an amendment to have the L.A. election differently. That's all I want to say. I'm back to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, actually, let me call him myself. I think that this is, as Serene mentioned, you know, a choice between two bad options. Because of prior decisions that others have made, we're now, you know, we're now in breach of the bylaws, no matter what we do. And I don't think this is a simple numerical question about let's go through some technical analysis of this. How many clauses does this vary from? I mean, you have to look at the entire situation we're in. And what, to me, is more important than anything is what most closely reflects the true intent of the people who wrote the bylaws and what was said at the time, what was organized at the time. I'm going to bring an amendment about this later, but technically it's not quite in order yet, so I'll just give you the concept here, is to put in some language that I found from a public email from Carol Spooner, who was the chair of the Interim Bylaws Revision Committee of the Interim National Board in 2002, where she sets forth the rationale for staggered board elections, precisely in terms that we've been discussing for the last few weeks, which is to avoid some hostile force, you know, coming in and taking over all five LSBs in one election. That could happen, of course, you know, at different times, but it's quite different if you have all 24 seats at stake versus only 12 seats, and then no matter how well organized they are, they can't attain a majority in one election. And if that actually materialized, there would be a chance for people to organize by the next election to, you know, stop it from going forward. So Carol Spooner articulated that very strongly. That was, and I remember it because I was present for some of those discussions, that was a theme echoed by many people, no matter what differences they had on other issues. And there were fierce differences, but on that issue, nobody disagreed that the board's election should be staggered. So to me, that is the greater issue that any fair person, and I would say, of course I'm not a lawyer, but I would say, I would think any fair judge would look at the totality and not at simply the number of clauses involved, because it's a matter of staying true to how to keep the institution in safe hands. Which is the whole purpose of having elections in the first place, was because there was a takeover when there were appointed boards before. So I'll stop there.
Maria Elena, understand?
Yes, go ahead, Maria Elena.
I agree that it would be disruptive as well as I think contradictory with regard to the original idea that the terms be staggered. I'm not in favor of having all 24 members be reelected in one fell swoop. However, I do believe that at least a third of that is that eight members whose tenure most recently began should be retained. And the other two-thirds perhaps put up for election this time or put up for staggered elections this fall and the following fall. But with regard to the overall predicament that we're in, I think we must also consider that much of the problems that have been stagnating or causing stagnation of the KPFT and the other stations, the other Pacifica stations, in terms of lack of growth of membership, lack of new finance streams, is in large part due to the cultivating of relationships and internal interests between a very narrow band of members and the management, with some collaboration on the part of some of the local LSBs. So, in order to get out of this predicament and the stagnation, that it's absolutely essential, I believe, that that the vast majority, two-thirds of the 28 members of the board be put up for election, re-election, and that's it. I pass.
Okay, who else would like to speak?
I know this is Margie. I'm not on the committee, but I...
No, you're entitled to speak. Anyone on this call can speak.
Okay. I totally get how weird and convoluted this is, and I completely agree with Serene that we, you know, a lot of these questions should have been answered when the board voted not to hold the previous election.
Hold on one second, Margie.
Yeah.
Somebody is having a conversation in the background. Could they please mute your phone?
No.
Okay. Go ahead,
and,
Margie.
There's so many qualifiers, and I appreciate Danet's efforts to have us violate as few bylaws as possible going forward. But I just want to say that I think that Janet's proposal is terribly confusing, and that it will make people will be confused, and I just don't see that as really helpful at this juncture. So that's all. That's all I wanted to say. That I feel like we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. But I think that we're better off with a simpler way forward, which is what I think Serene's motion offers.
Okay. Who else would like to speak?
Nancy.
Go ahead.
I have a question. Does anybody have a good idea to help KPFK, their situation? I mean, I don't think anybody here on the line is from KPFK. That's all.
Well, what do you mean by help them?
Well, I mean, they're going to have 24 members completely change.
Right. And what type of help are you thinking of?
That's what I mean. That's what I'm asking.
This is Michael Levick. I'm here from KPFK. We've been looking...
Oh, I'm sorry, Michael.
That's okay. We've been facing that prospect for, you know, since we failed to have a quorum in 2012. So no matter what else happens, we have to have the full board election, just as WPFW did, I think, in 2012, they achieved a quorum and that did cause problems for them because they ended up with a lot of people on the board who had not much interest, apparently. So, you know, I think one of the problems of having a 20, if you're voting for, 16 listener members is that, you know, it changes the STV rules, even if it's in terms of one election, and so it changes the how many votes you need, and you get people who, you know, don't have much support. But I think we're just, you know, we're stuck with that because, you know, we have people who are basically have been on the board since 2009. Talk about extended terms because we, you know, didn't make quorum in 2012, and so the people who are running for re-election for the 2009 seats are going to term out in 2015, and, you know, one way or another, you know, have to be replaced. You know, we're just going to do it.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, I'll take speakers who've already spoken if anyone wants to speak.
This is Janet
Kay.
I heard Serene. Who was the second person?
Janet Kay.
Nancy, and there was a third person?
Janet Kay.
Janet Kay. Okay, so Serene, Nancy, and Janet.
Nancy doesn't need to speak. Just 4 more minutes, that's all.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. Okay.
I was just going to say, just because we have time doesn't mean we have to use it.
No, of course not.
Vermont.
Okay. Well, fine. So, let's see, Janet Kay.
Can we get on or off?
Well, we'll only know if you got on. Any new person?
Okay. Janet Kay, go ahead, and then we should move to the vote.
Okay. Just first of all, I think that as far as confusion goes, Serene's motion is more confusing than my motion, but still, as far as whether members would be confused, I can't say that anybody can speak for them. Anybody on this committee can speak for members of the station. Also, if KPFK can do all 24, why not all the other stations? Some people feel that it might even be good for all 24 members to be replaced of their LSD, but still, that most likely would not happen because you would have LSD members who have not termed out, and they would run again. Many of them would run again and be elected, so it would not be a full turnover. Most likely. I'll stop here. Let me just mention that Liddy Rizan is not on this committee.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well,
I'm sorry. Just
yes.
One quick thing. I think it's unfortunate that any station should ever be in a situation where a quorum is not met. I think that speaks to how we need to do ensure that this election is done differently so that people have a sense of ownership and have a clear understanding of the relevance of the local station board to the direction of their station. And then we won't have quorum issues. And I'm sorry that KPFK finds itself in a position now where it does have all 24 seats open. But the difference between it happening at one station and at all five stations is that, in fact, I don't think one local station board, regardless of its importance to us, can change the course of the network. But someone being able to take three or four or even all five of our local station boards in one election would be a serious problem for Pacifica. So, yeah, there's a great difference between having to do it in one area and choosing to do it online.
Janet Kay, can I
okay.
take
well,
one last trick?
Hold on. At this point, we're out of time. We're really at the end of our time.
I mean,
and we
there are
have
a few
to,
typos.
Excuse me, Janet, please mute your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have one more minute, Bob.
Okay, right. And in that minute, we really should be taking these votes. And I also just need to tell people the procedural situation is that elections can be earlier passed a conceptual motion calling for an election of 12 delegates at each station for a three-year term in 2015. That was a 9-3 vote. So that's our position on the record. These two motions, Serene's would further implement that in detail, and Janet's would reverse that. Secondly, on March 3rd, the Governance Committee passed Serene Roberts' motion, the one that's before us tonight, by a vote of 6-2. And finally, just a note, in case anyone wasn't clear, that both motions call for the delegates elected this year to be seated in December. So with that, unless there's someone who absolutely needs to speak very quickly, I would like to call the first vote.
Janet Kay, I'd like to speak real quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
So, a matter of changing direction that electing all 24 seats at all LSPs might change direction of Pacifica. Well, Pacifica might need some changing of direction.
Okay, so as I said, the first vote will be on Janet Kay's motion, which is for all five stations to hold elections for all 24 seats this year. And there would be a three-year term for the top half of the winners and a one-year term for the second half, the lower half. Okay, so Michael, if you could please call the roll. So a yes vote supports making Janet's motion the main motion, and we can amend that if we want or not. And a no vote would rule that out as the main motion, and then we'd go to considering Serene's, and we could amend that as we choose. Okay. Okay, so Michael, please call the roll on Janet Kay's motion for a 24-seat election at all stations.
Okay, Teresa Allen.
Teresa Allen passes.
I guess Lady Verdon is no longer a member. Jim Brown.
I was muted, I'm sorry. Jim Brown says no on this one.
Marina Elena Castellanos.
Okay, you can come back.
Okay, Janet Coleman.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
I'm passing.
I don't think Jose Luis is on the call. Mark Hernandez is on the call. Cynthia Johnson. Kim Kaufman. Janet Coburn.
Yes.
Bob Letterer?
No.
I'm going to pass. Serena Roberts? I'm sorry?
I don't know.
No?
No.
Peter Tucker?
No.
John Winger? Another call. Going back to Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Janet Coleman.
I also vote no.
I list myself as abstaining. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no's. One yes. And one abstain.
Michael?
Yes.
I think it's 6 no's.
Oh, 6. 6 no's, I'm sorry.
Okay, so so that is not the substitute. We go back to the main motion, which is Serene's, and the floor is open for amendments. I'd actually like to call on myself because I have an amendment, which I sent out to the committee about an hour ago, but I'll read it. It's pretty short.
Maria Elena Castellanos, if you have to be Houston, is still on the call. I simply could not attend to the previous matter because it's something I'm doing right now, and so I'll be listening, but I won't be able to respond to the next 5 minutes.
Okay, did you want to register a vote, or?
Not. You just took the vote on the amendment, correct?
That vote has been closed.
Motion.
Yeah,
okay.
We're going on to another motion now. So, my amendment is to add a whereas clause after the existing two whereas clauses that would say, and whereas when the revised Pacifica bylaws were adopted in 2003, establishing elected boards, there was a universal agreement on the importance of instituting, in the words of Carol Spooner, chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board's Bylaws Revision Committee, quote, safeguards, unquote, to prevent, quote, opening us up to take over from the right by buying up memberships, unquote, one of which safeguards was, quote, staggered elections so that it would take time to gain a majority on any board, unquote. And then the only other minor wording change is just to resolve language. So it now says resolve that one, and then back to kind of basically what it was in the Serene's original, that the PNB. The PNB finds the need to hold staggered elections in order to avoid turnover of the entire local board, and I just added the words, at all five stations, back to her language, in a single election is a greater, more fundamental issue than the delay in adjusting the schedule for any given election. And then, vote number two, the foundation shall hold down to elections in 2000, 15 at all five stations, KKK, et cetera, and stuff that we'll be talking about. The rest is unchanged. So that's my amendment. So,
oh, I agree with that.
Okay.
Janet K. Pardon information?
Yes.
I was just wondering, did you run this by Carol Spooner?
No, it was a public website. She posted it on a public listserv in 2002. I'm not purporting to speak for her or to communicate her current opinion about anything.
Am I on? No.
Now you are. Now I can hear you.
I do have a point, an area of discussion here that
okay.
I think worthy of discussing. To see that there is not a takeover from the right is an awfully vague term of possible enemies. There could be any, I mean, this is what, 15 years later, there we might reflect a little harder on what might actually occur, since the right, nobody seems to be all that interested in us. Nobody seems interested. So who's going to take it over? We should speculate a little, you know, harder on that and see what how we are safeguarding the foundation.
Who's that?
Janet Kate.
That was Janet Coleman.
Yes.
Okay. We are actually out of time point, so I would like to ask if we can have maybe two more minutes of comments on this and then to the vote. Is there any objection to a two-minute extension? And I'd like to have an opportunity as the next amendment to have one of those 2 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, then two more minutes. So, Janet, you...
Maria Elena.
Oh, okay, Maria Elena, go ahead.
I agree with the principle of continuity, actually, is why I think it's important to mention the original goal to have staggered elections. I am more concerned with continuity than I am with a possible takeover by one extreme or another extreme group of individuals. So that's why I'm in favor of mentioning the original goal of having staggered elections in the Pacifica bylaws. I'm more concerned with the principle of continuity as opposed to preventing takeovers, but the way you read it, I am in favor of adding that particular piece of information.
Okay, thanks. All right, and I'll just add real quickly that...
Go ahead. I mean, I just wanted to add about the concern about takeover from the right. There's also possible takeover from some so-called left entities or progressive or whatever, or some major party. Anyway, so there... takeover is, you know, it's just too general.
Okay, well, all I'll say briefly is I agree with both Janets that the quote that I thought we should include is not in any way a full representation of all the possible risks of having the entire governance of Pacifica up in a single election. The right is one possibility, but there could be different shadings. I mean, what we just come out of at that time was kind of the centrists in the Democratic Party had taken over Pacifica. So the quote is not, I'm not proposing that it be included because this is the gospel and we're endorsing Carol Spooner's statement as the main issue, but simply as an illustration of the thinking, and I think she spoke for a lot of people at the time who designed the bylaws, which is a factor that I know judges in other cases look at, is, well, a piece of legislation is not just what the words on the paper are, it's what was the intent, and this shows intent. So, no, I'm not narrowing it to that, and I think Janet, both Janets, make a very strong point that there's all kinds of risks that we face. So, with that, are we out of town?
Yes, 2 minutes are up.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll now go to the vote first on my amendment, and then we'll see, you know, if that passes, it'll be Serene's motion as amended. If it doesn't pass, it'll just be Serene's motion as originally written.
But Bob, okay. Can you repeat the entire the amendment again once more, with or without the details sooner?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean the entire motion? Because that's
no, your amendment.
Oh, just my amendment, yeah. Whereas when the revised bylaws were adopted in 2003, establishing elected boards, there was universal agreement on the importance of instituting, in the words of Carol Spooner, chair of the Interim Pacific National Board's Bylaws Revision Committee, safeguards to prevent opening us up to take over from the right by buying up memberships, one of which safeguards was staggered elections so that it would take time to gain a majority on any board. That's the language.
Well, I guess the right means anybody, but...
Okay.
Well, it says the right, and it really shouldn't.
Okay. Let me ask, is there...
Can't you say taking over dash, dash, dash?
Well, if he's quoting her, he can't...
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable introducing deletion like that. So I would ask if we can... is there an objection to adding this whereas clause?
John Winger to the queue, please.
Well, we're out of time, so I'm asking, is there an objection?
Okay, I will abstain.
Okay.
You asked for an objection.
Okay, that's fine. In that case, we have to count the vote. So, Michael, please call the roll.
Okay, this is on
whether to add my amendment
to add that language. Teresa Allen? Teresa Allen. Jim Brown. I'm sorry, that's King. Jim Brown.
Jim Brown votes yes.
Maria Elena Castellanos.
Yes.
Janet Coleman.
I think I will abstain.
Janet Coburn?
Abstain.
Lehrer?
Yes.
Abstain also. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Peter Tucker?
Yes.
John Winger?
I'm not a member, but yes.
Okay, you're listed as a member now. This list must have gotten screwed up. Say. All right. I think you are a member. Weren't you elected?
You might be right. If I'm a member, then I certainly do. You actually know better than I. I left that meeting early because of the smoke situation.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was the two of us.
Great.
Okay. All right, that's 5-0, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yes, and 1, 2, 3 abstentions.
Okay, so the amendment's adopted, and now we're up.
Four abstentions.
Okay. And now we're up to the vote on Serene's motion as amended. Just amended. So we are out of time, and we need to just go to the vote on Serene's motion as amended. So, Michael, please call the roll again.
Okay, on the main motion as amended, Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
Maria Elena Castellanos. Janet Coleman?
Yes.
Janet Coleman?
No.
Bob Litterer?
Yes.
Yes, I'll vote yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Was I on unmute, Maria Elena Castellanos? Was I on unmute when I said...
You must have been muted. We didn't hear anything.
What
was your vote?
I said yes.
Okay, thank you. Peter Tucker?
Yes.
John Winger?
Yes.
Okay, Margie, while he's counting, can you please call?
Yes, no.
Okay, I'm sorry, Michael, say that again with the final count.
That was 9 yes and 1 no.
And any abstentions?
I didn't hear any.
Okay. All right, the motion is adopted, and we'll report that to PNB and pass that on. And so thank you, everyone, for really thoughtful discussion. And we now move on to the discussion of the presentation by the National Election Supervisor of her proposed budget and also timeline. And we have 60 minutes. Now, obviously, we don't have 60 minutes since we need to adjourn, or we need to set our meeting date at 10:20. So, Nancy, if you can just tell us when we're getting to, let's say, 10:15.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Hi. Joy, are you here? Hello? Okay. Let me try again.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, while she's...
Yes.
Well, can you hear me?
I can.
So you're saying that we're only going to hear about a presentation of about 25 minutes instead of 60 minutes.
Unfortunately, you know, because it took so long to reach quorum, and this discussion went a little bit longer than...
I do want to express my displeasure. From the very beginning, when our national election supervisor, I asked that in January that we be able to talk to her. We just made a big decision. She's supposedly been working on saving money and what her plan is for the election, and we haven't heard from her.
She's been working very hard. So
how do I know? What
well, you're about to find out. So if you just
well,
be patient.
Did you send the thing that you said you had from her?
I did send it. Okay,
well,
so now
try send and receive again to see if I get it.
Okay. So Joy, are you with us?
Hey, Bob, I just
yes.
get, I'm sorry, on the number I have for her, I just get voicemail. Do you have a, can you, I just sent her an email, but I. Let's see.
Let me see. All right, I'll send you what I have.
Okay, thank you.
Still don't have anything.
Well, that's
you.
Very strange. Did anyone else get the budget?
Yes, I received it.
Okay, Teresa, I don't know why you're not getting it, but we'll have to settle that after the call. I'm sorry.
I just sent it to Teresa.
Good.
Nancy.
Good.
All right, I'll look for it again.
And you know what? She Joy just sent a revised version, which I'm now.
Here we are. Hello. Good evening. This is Joy.
Oh, hi, Joy. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
Really appreciate it. I know it's tough this hour. Let me ask Margie to briefly introduce Joy, since it's her first time meeting the Elections Committee, and then we'll ask you, Joy, to go ahead with your presentation.
Sure.
Okay. So I appointed Joy in, I think it was December, and she started working in January. I selected Joy from the various candidates because she was someone who was not involved in Pacifica politics, and because she had experience as a local election supervisor during her first election in 2004, and because I was very impressed with her resume and the conversations that we had. And I think the work that she has done, what she's about to tell you all about since that time, will convince you as well that she's the right person for this job. Joy has been working on a number of issues, and we didn't have time to talk about a full report on everything that she's done, but we will get that to you very shortly, and just to tell you where she's what she's come up with. We've asked her to work on money saving. We've been sort of stymied because the PMB and the Elections Committee hadn't exactly made a decision about how to go forward with this election. She's been working to develop a website and a number of other things. So I'll let Joy go ahead and explain to you, and you should have I think everyone got the report, which Bob just sent, right?
Yeah, and I just sent the revised report, so you should don't look at the first email, because that's out of date now. Look at her second report, which also includes her timeline.
Right, okay.
Okay, and one last quick comment before Joy starts is that under, you know, what we have to, the rules of what we have to be careful about with confidentiality, she's going to be discussing bids that she's received from electronic voting companies, and she'll be mentioning the names of companies, but she's not going to say company ABC put in a bid for, you know, $3,000. She'll say, you know, I got a range of bids from $3,000 to $8,000. So just so you know, she's not withholding information. It's all in the written report you got. But because we're on a bond stream, she can't, you know, be that specific about a particular company. But we can ask her questions online if we have questions about particular companies. Okay. Go ahead, Joy.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm just going to ask, I'm a conference call pro, so if you are somewhere in which there is a lot of noise in the background, or like me, if your cat is bothering you to feed it, please just put your phone on mute so that we won't disturb the conversation. So the memo that you have in front of me, again, in front of you, or should have in front of you, is actually in two parts. It's the memo on the tentative budget, as well as the tentative election schedule. So I'll still go section by section where we are now. We're going to start with the budget first, and then in light of all of that information, we'll go through the election schedule, the proposed election schedule as it sounds right now. So all of this, again, is, these information, these numbers, as well as the timeline, is not something that's set in stone. Obviously, all of this information and how we proceed with the election is based upon people's ability to financially cover the election, and so we'll be able to move from there. So I just want everyone to keep that in mind. So the first piece is regarding, in order to get to the budget numbers, was trying to get an estimate of the listener members and staff members of the CISPRA. And as outlined in the memo, this process was just in terms of getting an estimate and not even asking for a specific hard number was a little difficult. As I said to both both to Margie and Bob, I find it extremely troubling that patients aren't able to give an accurate number or at least an estimate number in a timely manner. That I, you know, asked for the number to the patients, and for some patients did not get a response during that time. And from what I understand, for conversation in terms of how the listener, the membership is kept, I strongly suggest that the membership sort of take up the issue of upgrading its database, because it's just extremely difficult, particularly that your bylaws state that someone's membership eligibility is what gives them voting rights within the organization. That is something that should be easily kept up to date. So presented in, you know, the first part of the memo is sort of the estimated numbers that I use in order to give the budget. I completely understand that these numbers change, and you should also know very well that these numbers change. And for instance, right now, it says that the total both listener and staff members is about 56,405. You know, based upon when the election is started and when the member record date will be, that number should change as more people renew their membership or more people drop off by the membership record date. I'm sorry, did someone have a question?
Janet, please mute your phone.
Oh.
Go ahead, Joy. I'm sorry.
Okay, I didn't know if someone had a question on that or not.
No, that wasn't to you. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. So moving on, you know, so that's just based in terms of the number the collection is based on in terms of membership. Is about 56,405. That includes about 55,000 estimated listener members and about 1,000 staff members. Again, those are estimates. So the largest portion of the budget, both for the patient's contribution, is the actual ballot mailing. With nearly 60,000 eligible voters, both the printing and the postage of the materials is what is the greatest expense to the station. Presented here is a breakdown of the voter materials, which includes the ballot, the election booklet, the outer envelope, and the return envelope. I will make note that the election booklet includes not only the candidate information, their candidate statements as provided, but also a letter explaining to the voter the election process and how to actually cast their vote, as well as a fundraising appeal that would be at the back of the book for the member to tear off and mail back with their ballot. And so just on the voter materials, based upon the numbers here, that's actually the printing cost. And based upon my business relationships that I have with a couple of printing vendors, as my company doing actual candidate selections, I do printing pretty regularly. And I was able to negotiate a lower rate for the printing. And as well, to get to the second question in terms of the postage, presented a couple of postage options for you to consider as well. The first would be sending the voter materials regular first class mail, that's a regular first class stamp at 49 cents. Keep in mind that depending on the weight of the voter materials, that first class mail may actually increase. So, you know, depending on if you can keep the actual voter materials below a certain amount of ounces, that 49-cent stamp may have to go up to the 92 cents if it's been going in first-class mail. This is just an estimate of trying to keep the voter materials at the weight level. The second postage option is sending it via bulk weight. To save significant costs, we would use a mail house for this mailing. We would use a mail house for this mailing, which means that Pacifica would not have to incur the permit fee cost for Pacifica having its own bulk rate permit. Additionally, with the U.S. Postal Service, if you have a bulk rate permit, it's actually pre-funding the postage. So Pacifica would actually have to write a large check to the Postal Service to basically hold an escrow that they would then deduct mailing sent from once those mailings are sent. So those are the two different options in terms of the bulk rate and the regular first class stamp. And as you can see, if sending bulk rate, the total to each station, there's a breakdown in the chart. As well as the total postage from there. The other postage options are for the return envelope. This would be the envelope in which the voter would send back their ballot and hopefully their check for the fundraising appeal. And obviously, if we don't include any postage, meaning that the voter would have to put their own stamp on the return envelope, there would be no cost to Pacifica. However, it's my recommendation that we include a business reply envelope. That means that Pacifica would incur the charge. There's no stamp needed on the reply envelope. The voter would simply put their ballot and their check in the envelope and send it and just put it in the postmark. And that would be deducted and that would be, that charge would be added on to Pacifica's postage bill. Again, we would not, you know, from here, because we have a separate business supply permit needed in order to do that with the Postal Service. Again, using a mail house would reduce that cost. The business reply numbers that are here, it is here that I estimate that about 5% of eligible voters from each station actually return a ballot by mail. And so that cost number is reflective of that, and 5% of eligible voters returning their ballot by mail. So in the yellow section, you'll then see what the total cost would be to each station using a first-class postage versus using a bulk rate. Are there any questions on this section?
Teresa, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Sure. Actually, I have two questions. Number one, who specifically did you approach at the stations that did not cooperate with you and give you proper membership numbers?
You know, I don't think that's an appropriate discussion on public stream. That gets into a personnel evaluation, and
who is going to deal with that then?
Well, maybe Margie can address this. Not about the names, but about the process of obtaining cooperation from general managers.
Right. So, as Joy can tell you, I have been struggling with this as well, and I have just today given her some updated information, and we'll have additional information for her tomorrow. Everyone knows that we've been in fund drive mode and life has not been simple, but we are working on this and we will solve this problem.
Well, if our general manager is causing a problem, or if our development director or our membership director is not giving you the proper numbers and if they are not maintaining the proper numbers, then somebody needs to be told that so they can be written up.
I don't disagree, Teresa. I will keep everybody informed.
Yeah, because I mean, when this is keeping our elections director from doing her job efficiently, this is a problem. And if someone is a prima donna or is obstructive, then somebody needs to be notified of that. It needs to be written down or something. And they don't meet deadlines. Okay, the other thing is, I see that the difference in the first class and the bulk, but I just got this from Nancy Zibara Naratomi just 1 minute ago. My question is, have you studied how much can be saved by opt-in or opt-out, whatever you call it?
That's coming in the next course report, so just please be patient. She'll
okay, thank you.